Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Being thankful. You know, along the way to being joyful is stopping to be thankful. I know it's not November yet, but it's okay to talk about Thanksgiving anytime. We need to remember to be thankful. I'll tell you a little quote that I saw a friend of my dad's quote on Facebook a long time ago, and it made me chuckle. He's the same age as my, or a little younger than my dad, but he's kind of a funny guy. But he said, he posted it, and I just remembered it because I remembered how personal it was. He said, "I wish I was as fat as the first time I realized I was fat." Do you understand what that means? I wish I only was as fat as the first time I realized I was fat. Now, if you're wondering what in the world is that all about, I wish I would have appreciated how not so fat I was back when I thought I was fat. Because now it's fatter. Or let's put it, this will apply to some other things. I wish it was only as bad as the first time I thought it was getting bad. How about that? I wish our nation only had the problems it had when I really thought our nation had problems. How about that? Starting to understand what I'm saying here? You know what happens to us? In the present, we always look at the negative, and we always think about how it's not so perfect, only to realize later on it wasn't that bad. Why were we not so thankful? Miss Wilma said to me about 3 months ago, "What was I doing with my time?" And unfortunately, instead of looking at the present and seeing the blessings and seeing the good things that God's doing or has done, we look at the negative. We all do it. I was teaching about Adam and Eve tonight, and Harmony was walking in late, so I don't know if she heard this before. But it's amazing how that she had the entire garden, but she had to have the one tree in the middle, the fruit on that tree. And that's just how we are as human beings. We just dwell on the one thing we can't have. Something else that recently popped up, it's amazing how when we think about a yellow car, or we have that on our mind, that's we see nothing but yellow cars. Or if you're shopping for a Subaru, it seems like everything you see is a Subaru. It's only because that's what you're focused on. Your brain is thinking on that. And so we read it just a minute ago. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to remember how to train our minds to think on good things and think things. Now, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm not talking about just being silly about things or pretending like there's no bad. But I think we can always find something to be thankful for. I'll tell you right now, I'm thankful, and this might be something you noticed too, and maybe you didn't, but I'm thankful that we're actually going to get to fall before we're probably going to get to snow. That's pretty nice. You know, last year, I think it was like Labor Day or the day after Labor Day, it snowed. It was like 70 some degrees, and then the next day it was like 13 degrees and 2 inches or 3 inches of snow, and then it went back. And it was so frustrating because it ruined all the gardens. It just destroyed it. But you know what? We haven't had that. We continue to harvest out of our garden even now. Do we stop and say thank you for that? I'm sure. And I felt it because I have allergies. I'm sure that probably somebody in here thought, "Oh, this smoke is so bad." Can I tell you something? It's not as bad as fire. I mean, we just had the smoke. Those people out there had the fire, you know? And we need to realize that a lot of times we just can't seem to notice the good stuff. And that causes us a problem. And everything, give thanks. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I want to say this too. I'm not going to allow the media to tell me what I'm supposed to be thankful for. I know what good things I should be thankful. I'm thankful that even though there are Afghanistan people being and refugees and whatnot being moved into Wisconsin, there's already a church preparing to deal and to reach out to them. I can't help but see the plan of God and all that, and to recognize what God's doing behind the scenes. So I think it was just yesterday I was reading Habakkuk. And Habakkuk starts out like this in chapter 1 and verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. So the very first thing we read is Habakkuk has a burden. He has a heavy heart. He's brokenhearted. There's something going on that he doesn't like. And if you read Habakkuk, you realize that Habakkuk is right at the time when Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon are going to come in and they're going to take over Judah and they're going to just take it all to Babylon. And as far as Habakkuk's world is concerned, it's over. This is done. You know what? We're kind of in those times right now where everything's so uncertain and there's just a lot of uncertainty about things and what's going on. And Habakkuk is looking at everything in the small picture, the Habakkuk point of view, and not the God point of view. And he says in verse 2, O Lord, how long will I cry and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Why do I have to see this? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And he goes on and he talks about the negative things that are happening. He's burdened. His nation is a mess. His nation's falling apart. And he's really frustrated at what's going on. But you know, inside of all that, God still uses Habakkuk to write some wonderful things. For instance, chapter 2 and verse 4. In chapter 2, verse 4, he writes this. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, colon, but, second half of verse 4, but the just shall live by his faith. That's become a very, very famous slogan in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. We're saved by faith, and we trust God. We're not saved by sight, we're saved by faith. And Habakkuk's starting to, I think, realize some things. He talks about some of the things that were going on in chapter 2 and verse 12. Woe unto him that buildeth a town with blood, and establish a city by iniquity. And then unto him, and then verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also. Make them that he may look on their nakedness, drunkenness and everything that goes along with it, the nakedness and the shame that goes on with it, and then the spewing and the vomiting in verse 16. The things involved with alcohol and what goes on with that. How depressing and how discouraging. So in chapter 1, we have the burden of Habakkuk. In chapter 3, we have a prayer of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk realizes what the answer is. I need to pray. I need to talk to the Lord about my problems. You know, we can frustrate all we want. We can listen to talk radio, and that's not going to help. And we can just get more frustrated than that. We can talk to each other about all the problems and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Sooner or later, the best thing we need to realize, we need to talk to the Lord. We need to pray. That's why I'm glad you were here to pray at 6:15, and we could pray together. It's encouraging just to us guys, we get together and we pray. Madison, I want you to go back and sit with Miss Wilma. That's a cue. It's a clue. That means step number one, warning number one. I'm glad I got to pray with Treg tonight. I'm glad I got to pray with Joseph tonight and the other guys we got to pray with tonight. It's good. It's encouraging to hear other guys pray, to hear them talk to God, to hear them talk to the same God that you have. That's a blessing. I'm glad that I can hear different ones pray at times, hear my wife pray and hear my sons pray and my daughter pray. I'm glad that I can have the time to pray together. And not just that, but then to think about the others and their needs. Once in a while, I think it's good for a pastor and probably good for a Sunday school teacher and probably good for a parent to go into the room, like to go into this auditorium on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning when no one's here, and to think about all the people, because normally everybody sits in the same place all the time. And to think about that family, and to think about that family, to think about that family, to think about that family, to pray for them and their needs and what they have going on. And we need to learn to put things to prayer and to pray more than we do. And Habakkuk started doing that. And you know what happened? This is how Habakkuk's book ends. It doesn't end, And God gave a wonderful victory, and we didn't have to go to Babylon, and we lived happily ever after. No, that's not how the book ends. The book does not end that way. In fact, if you know history, you know that Habakkuk, shortly afterwards, boom, it's gone, and they go into Babylon, and it looks terrible, and then Habakkuk dies, and it's many, many years before, you know, Nehemiah and them come back into restore the city. Now, as far as the big picture, God knows it's all going to work out still. But as far as Habakkuk's picture, it's like it's over. And guess what? You and I have the Habakkuk picture. Even right now, in our country right now, we have the Habakkuk picture. But I promise you this, God has the big picture. And that's why God can say all things work together for good, because he can see it all at the same time. You and I can only see it like this. It reminds me of the missionary that came home, and he'd been serving for, you know, decades. And he and his wife comes home to America, and they're pretty much retiring from the field. And he doesn't feel really great, like he's really accomplished a whole lot. And he gets close to home, and he finds out, this is years ago, on the same ship, there is this dignitary, this very famous, important person. It might even be the President of the United States. And so he doesn't even know that that person's on the same ship until they pull into harbor, and there's all these people, and there's fanfare, and there's a band playing, and there's, you know, this parade waving and banners and everything. Welcome home, Mr. President, whatever. And the missionary's wife just kind of slowly walk off the ramp there, and everyone's, of course, focused on the dignitary and the celebrity. And they get to their motel room, and he says to his wife, "That really irritates me. Nobody was there to greet us and to tell us welcome home and good job and how. And I just feel like we've done more with our lives than that famous person has." And he kind of had a bad attitude about it. His wife said, "Well, I think you just need to pray about it." And so he did. And she went to bed, and he stayed up and prayed. And when she woke up, he was already up. But he wasn't up all night. He had slept, and he was up again, and he was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and already had shaved and showered, whistling, and a whole different attitude. And his wife said, "What happened to you? You're so at peace, and you're so much more confident and so much more at rest than you were last night. What happened?" He said, "I did what you told me to. I prayed about my frustration and asked God, how come no one was there to greet us and tell us, you know, how good of a job we had done?" And God answered my prayer. And she said, "Well, what did he say?" And he said, "Well, God just gave it to me just real simple. He said, 'Because you're not home yet. That's why no one greeted you like that. Home is heaven.'" And you and I, we get that way. We forget where home is. We forget where home is. We forget the big picture. And we forget what God's going to do in the big picture of things. Once in a while, God gives us a little smidgen of encouragement along the way. Like yesterday, my dad got a great big encouragement. And I was thankful for that. This guy up in the Rapid City Jail that got saved after all these years decided to look up this Tom Furs. I don't know if you're related, but I found you in Custer. Are you related? I just want to talk to him and tell him thank you for coming to the jail and witnessing to me. My life's turned around. I go to church now with my family, and on and on. Wow, that's a blessing. That's great. I hope you realize that heaven's probably going to have a lot of those. But if it doesn't have it now, if you don't get those phone calls, listen to how Habakkuk ends the whole thing. This is how it ends. Verse 17, chapter 3. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places," to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You just turn that into a song, and we'll sing it. And that's how it ends. That's the last of it. Let me just give you some points tonight. The Christian believer has joy. You have access to joy. I will rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Of course, we sing the song "Rejoice in the Lord" that Ron Hamilton had wrote. The believer has joy. The believer has the ability to have joy. We can rejoice in the Lord always. There should always be a reason for us to rejoice and to give praise and to give thanks. And shame on us if there isn't something that we're giving thanks for. We ought to be able to give thanks and praise the Lord. I am often discouraged and frustrated about things and about people sometimes, but you know what? I have to stop and realize I'm glad I still had the experience. What's that saying? Better to have loved and been hurt than to not love at all, or something like that. Better to have had opportunity, and maybe there's some setbacks and letdowns along the way, but I still am glad and would gladly do it again. I'm gladly spend and be spent for you. Christian believer has joy. There's nobody else that has joy like us. I'll tell you what the unsaved do. Their joy is based on their money. Their joy is based on, a lot of times, the bottle and the drugs. That's what their joy is based on. Their joy is based on just thrills for the moment. And we all know that all those things tend to wear you down and wear you down physically and financially. But you and I, as believers, can have true joy. And shame on us if we're not having that joy. Now, the joy is the Lord. In verse 18 again, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Not in the new job, not in the new car, not in the new president, not in the new whatever. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. That's what I'm going to rejoice in. This implies knowing him. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I think the more we get to know him, the better we will be able to rejoice in him. And rejoice in the Lord always. We ought to be able to just rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter how bad it might seem. We did not have any extra girls over the weekend, but we had girls on Monday. And the deal was is that the older two go to school and the young one comes home. And we start our new week on Monday and everything's fine. So here's how it started. Girls are sick. Nobody's going to school. So instead of having one at home, we got three at home. Boom, Tom O'Connor shows up and decides to shut off the power and fix something on our electric that we'd asked him to do a couple months ago. But he just so happened to come Monday when we got three extra girls at home and no power. And you know what? I just want to say this publicly. I have a wife who didn't complain, who didn't come to me and say, Can you come over here for a minute? I want to kick you in the shin and punch you in the face for scheduling this stupid electric job to be done. And I have no power and I had no plans to have three sick kids in my house and now I have no electricity and what am I supposed to do? And the littlest one decides not to get better. And so every 5 or 10 minutes, she has to have this plug in her mouth, and she's got snot plugged in her nose. So every 5 minutes, she's out of air. And she wakes up, and she chokes and coughs and sputters, and she screams and yells. And we wake up, too. So for the last couple of nights, I don't know how much sleep we've gotten, but it hasn't been great. But you know what? It's okay. Because I remember this. God knows. God knows the timing of it all. God's in charge of us. There's nothing that anybody did. It's just, this is what happened. And God knows. And we have to learn to recognize that God's in charge and God has a reason and God's behind the scenes. Jeremiah 9:23 says this. Jeremiah 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. I don't care about material possessions. It never satisfies. Oh, it's nice to have things, but they're so temporarily satisfying. Verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I'm going to just take a minute and just toot our own horn. You and I got it good because you and I know the Lord. I don't care what somebody else has. If they don't know the Lord, they don't have what you have. If you know the Lord, you've got something they don't have, and it's a blessing that we have it. And it doesn't make us better, but it's amazing to know him, to just know him. And to know him is to love him, 1 John 2 teaches. And to realize how good he is in spite of what everything else goes on. To know him and to know God, to know him. Backing up a little bit farther, my bus driver, manager, boss asked me, begged me to drive Friday for homecoming. That's kind of a given. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But then he said, please drive on Saturday. I just need to drive on Saturday. I never drive on Saturday. I need you to drive. I need everybody to drive on Saturday. All you got to do is go out to the Boy Scout camp and pick up the Boy Scouts in the morning, and then you just got to go back up to Mount Rushmore and pick them up and take them back in the evening. I thought, well, that can't be too hard. I mean, just drive out there. Of course, I've never been out there. You drive out there and drive, you know, and take them somewhere, and then have you ever been out to that place? Have you ever driven a bus out to that place? There's a washboarded road that goes straight down a hill, and then there's a canyon that your whole bus disappears in the canyon. And he didn't tell me that we were doing it at 4 in the morning, Saturday. And he told me we're going to Center Lake. Okay. No, we didn't go to Center Lake. We went to Iron Creek, which is way on the other side of American Center Road, which is way out in the middle of nowhere, which is way out in the middle of nowhere. And by the time we got to nowhere, and I pulled the door open, and I mean there is dust everywhere, and it's now 7:30, and I've been up since 4, and I pulled the door open, and the kids start to get off, and the one kid goes, we got somebody threw up back there. And he did. All down the side of the window and all down the side of the wall, seat, floor. About that. And the other bus driver was the manager. And I wasn't going to chew him out for it because he'd never done it before either. This is his first year doing it. He said, he comes up to me because I think he felt bad. He says, I just want you to know, if your church ever wants a bus for anything, you just let me know, and you can take it anywhere you want to go. All you got to pay for is the fuel. You can just go whatever, you know. But you know what? There must be a reason. I don't know. There must be a reason. The Lord knows. And you can get all angry and mad and blah, 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 but that's life. And things happen. But when you know the Lord, you ought to be able to live like it. I mean, you ought to be able to hold your cool and keep your cool and not blow a gasket and fly off the handle. Because all that means is that it didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out, and so now you're mad. That's how I get angry. But, you know, the joy has to be then the joy of salvation. We're forgiven. If you're saved, you're forgiven. You have forgiveness. There's a lot of people who I think the reason why they drink and the reason why they do drugs is because they don't have forgiveness. But if you're saved, you've got forgiveness. That's huge. If you're saved, you have regeneration. Regeneration means that you're born again. You're not the old creature you used to be when you were born the first time. You have been born again and you're saved. That's regeneration. And just as a way of illustration, that's every couple hours at night. So forgiveness and regeneration, and then restoration. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, it's amazing that we're saved. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to be regenerated and be born again. And we don't deserve to be restored and to be placed as adopted children into God's family. We don't deserve that. That he would, I mean, it's one thing to forgive Ron Spear. It's another thing to adopt him. Think about it. And how about the rest of you? It's one thing to say, well, I forgive Jeff Pryor, but then to adopt him? Ask Mrs. Pryor. She'll tell you. It's one thing to say, I forgive Treg. It's another thing to adopt him, because that means you're adopting all the problems that go with him. It's one thing to say, I forgive that child. It's another thing to adopt him. And that's what God did. He didn't just forgive us. He adopts us. You ought to go out of here saying, I'm thankful to be adopted. I don't deserve it. And then, notice also in Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 19, there's a joy in anticipation. It's a slow, but it's a sure progress. In verse 19, it says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. You know, God works on us and makes us able to walk like those goats that can walk on the mountains, those hinds. They have feet. I don't know exactly what a hind is, but it's similar to a deer or a goat, and they've got these feet. And I know you've seen the pictures of these mountain climbers, and you're amazed at where they can go. And he makes my feet like that. And, oh, there might be some trial and error, and there might be some falling that takes place, but it's a progress. And the Bible again says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I don't know for sure if it was Tom Furs, but I know we got somebody over here in the corner here that got saved at the Rapid City Jail also. That's a blessing. And the reason why I say that is because it was a blessing to hear from that guy and to have him say, I just want to say thank you. Because there's so many days you go and they just treat you like dirt, or it just seems like nothing comes from it, or you put a lot of investment into someone and then it just seems like it all falls apart and it seems like a waste of time. And you find out, no, it's not a waste of time. All things do work together for good. And I think the biggest thing for me is to stop worrying about this picture right here. Because I got the Habakkuk view. You got the Habakkuk view? You know what I mean by the Habakkuk view? This, I can't see anything good. It's just a burden. Everything's a mess and everything's, I'll be honest with you. I was disappointed and I was kind of surprised that California decided to keep the same governor. And I was like, good grief, you know. But that's just this picture here, okay? All right? Now let me just say this. I'm thankful I'm not in California, you know. But the big picture is God's still going to do things. God's going to work things for good. There's going to be people. There's probably going to be good things happening. The worse things get, good things happen. Because I think there'll be people that will start to say, what's happening? I need to know the answer. And you go to church and you know God and you seem to be happy. Treg, how come you just go to church all the time and can be happy? How come things are better? And maybe they'll ask you that. Or maybe they'll say to Mr. Dave, how come you're happy? You don't ever win a game. How can you be happy? Your best player just blew his knee out. How can you be happy? What's wrong with you? And they start to see, how can you be, how, and they start, and maybe worse things and bad things cause people to see light more than they used to. As it gets darker, light shines brighter. And so, it's okay. And if God's got you in the mountain climbing practice stage, learn to climb. And find out that climbing up the mountain of grace is a good thing. And you become more sure-footed. And you don't blow a gasket every time it doesn't go your way. And you find out after trial and error, you know what? I'm not really supposed to be building my kingdom. In fact, the pattern was, the model prayer was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And here all this time I'm trying to build my kingdom. That's not what it is. Habakkuk, I know you think it's falling apart, and I know you think it's terrible that this Babylonian king is coming in and doing all that stuff, and I know you're probably wishing that more people would have voted better, and I know you're probably thinking we need to start it. No, listen, Habakkuk, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I agree with you, it's a problem. I agree with you, it's a burden. But understand, it'll be okay. Because there's anticipation. He's going to make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. I can trust him. It's going to be, one day, of course, I'll be in heaven. And it will, I can have joy knowing that the future is bright. If you're just a Republican, or if you're just a conservative, or if you're just a patriot but you're not a Christian, you can't say, I know for sure the future will be bright. But if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what else is going on. The future can still be bright. It will be bright. Because we have heaven as our home. We have Jesus as our future leader. And we can joy in that. And then also, it's independent of earthly possessions. The joy that comes from God is independent of what we have. Look at again in verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. You say, yeah, I had a week like that. Yeah, that's what's going on right now. Yeah, that's my bank account right now. You know what? You can still prove that you have joy in spite of it, because it's not dependent on earthly possessions. You've heard me say it before. I'll go ahead and say it again. I like Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Not because I watch it all the time, but because when the Grinch takes all the presents and all everything about Christmas and all the decorations away, and the people still get out and sing, he said, I can't believe they're still happy. What's wrong with these people? Now, that's just a cartoon, but that's how it should be for us. When the powers that be take all of it from us. I just read the headlines. I haven't even read it all. In fact, I got an email from my credit union yesterday. And the email said that anything over $600 is going to be monitored. Any transaction, or if I have more than $600 in the bank, they're going to monitor it. They're going to, what am I doing? What's he doing with his money? The government's going to monitor it. And I guess that's a new rule or law or something. Somebody thought was a great idea. You know what? They can take all my money, I should still be happy. If I'm a Christian, I should still have joy. Because if it gets that bizarre, we got to realize, man, God's got something going on here. I mean, we ought to be able to still, if we wake up and the Grinch steals everything, we ought to still have joy. And it should be independent of earthly possessions. Adversity can't destroy it. Adversity can't finish it off. Job said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. He might want me to be martyred. He might want me to be slain for his will. Though he slay me, I'll still trust him. That's amazing. Even if my God kills me, I'm still going to trust him. That's what it says in Romans 8 when you talk all things work together for good. A few verses later it says, we are more than conquerors in, even though we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's the Afghanistan Christians. The Afghanistan Christians are standing strong and saying, it's a blessing to die for Jesus. Boy, that makes it simple. The joy is independent of earthly possessions. It didn't help when I was driving the school bus the other day, way down that road, and I'm like, wow, there's some nice places tucked way back in here. I didn't even know these places existed. About that, hey, you got puke running down the side of your wall. You know what? That's just the world. Those places are going to burn up. Those places are just leased. They're not owned. But John 14 says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Joy is independent of earthly possessions. The Christian believer has joy because his joy is in the Lord, because his joy is the joy of salvation, and he has a joy of anticipation knowing there's a future. And that, therefore, it's independent of earthly possessions. It doesn't matter what earthly possessions you have or have been taken from you. It can't steal your joy. And the joy of the Lord is strong. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What do you do with someone that says, doesn't matter if I've lost everything, I can still rejoice in the Lord? And that ought to be our testimony. So I'm thankful I got to read Habakkuk again this week. It's just a reminder that the burden, my burden, and my prayer request, and there's people that are doing all kinds of things, and law and rule is just being neglected, and then people are just getting drunk and doing all kinds of abuses, and things are just terrible, and yet I can rejoice in the Lord. I don't know what God is doing, but I know God will do it. I know God has a plan, and I can rejoice in Him. I want to encourage you tonight to have joy. Not just circumstantial happiness. And for a minute, let me talk to you, and even to these young people in here, but all of us. That's what we're always looking for. That's why when it's time for Anchor Club versus playing, we want to go play. It's sunshine outside. I want to go play outside. Well, you know what? We played outside a little bit tonight. When it's time for church, we want to go play. When it's time for... Why? Because that's that temporary thrill and that temporary satisfaction. Goofing around temporarily. Man, that's not where it's at. I'm thankful you're here. It's easier to talk to people than to preach to Josh by himself. I'm glad the rest of you came. I hope you're glad too. I hope you're encouraged and reminded already, you know what? The big picture is not my little window. Oh, it's getting bad. Oh, it's getting terrible. That's okay. God's still in charge. I heard some people today talking about their age. This morning, I heard some people talking about their age. I heard one person say, yep, next year I'll be 89. And somebody else saying, yeah, I knew somebody was 98. And their problem was is they didn't have any friends because they're all dead. And I heard some folks talking. And I understand, I mean, it's true. But you know what? It doesn't matter. God's got a purpose. God's got a reason for you to be here. And we need to show and demonstrate the joy of the Lord in our life. God is good. God has a plan. And Habakkuk, when he got to the end, he said, I don't know if there's going to be anything in the barn. I don't know if there's anything in the bank account. I don't know if there's anything to count on, but I'm going to joy in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So back to Philippians 4. I just want to read it, and we'll close in prayer. Young people, right now at your age, it's all about fun. And let me explain something to you real quick. Young people, most of the adults are caving into that. They're just looking for whatever will make you happy for the moment. And so education drops down because it's more about entertainment than education. It's not about anything that's important. It's about what keeps you excited and keeps you thrilled. And that's the way it is for everything. That's the way it is for us adults too. We just want to be entertained. We want to constantly have a feel-good feeling. They say that after World War II, the Three Stooges was the only thing people wanted to watch because it just made them laugh. Just entertaining. Young people, I realize that a lot of your friends are having fun. But that fun's temporary. It doesn't bring joy. That's not where joy comes from. Joy doesn't come from candy, and it doesn't come from thrills and excitement and fun. Amusement parks are not really that fun. They'll offer some thrills for a while, but that's it. And movies, they last an hour and a half. And anything other pleasure you can think of, it just comes and it goes, and that's it. But joy doesn't have a short lifespan. Joy is long-lasting. And I will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Tonight, let's stop focusing on the bad stuff. And let's stop and realize, you know what? Just like I used to say, I wish I was only as fat as I was when I first thought I was fat. I wish it was only as bad as when I first thought it was bad. Why don't we stop and say, you know what? That's dumb. Let's stop trickling that way. Let's realize I need to be thankful and grateful for how good I have it right now. I don't know what my health is going to be like next year. Instead of complaining about not having enough hair, I should be thankful I still have some hair, even if she makes fun of it. Instead of complaining about having someone who wakes up every 10 minutes and cries in the middle of the night, I'm thankful that person can be helped and I can help them. Instead of complaining and be frustrating because I've got a government that's crazy, at least I'm still here. At least I'm still where I am. At least I still have freedom to preach and teach right now. And instead of seeing all the kids that didn't come to Anchor Club tonight, I want to look at the ones that did and the new ones that came and to remind myself that God is good and there's still good things happening. There's always the positive to look at. I'm not trying to speak on the power of positive thinking, but we got to stop letting the devil fool us into the negative stuff because we're so good at it. It's just easy to slip into it. And I think he wants us to slip into it because then he has the candy that he offers as the solution, and it's never the solution. But instead, let's look at the joy of the Lord. Let's recognize God is good. God is good. God is good. I don't know if Miss Wilma will be alive next year. I sure hope so. But she's been a blessing to me, and God is good. I sure hope my children are all going to be alive next year. I sure hope that my children will be happily married and living well. But I can tell you this, God is good. And we learn lessons along the way. Last Mother's Day, a young man that we had in our home a while back texted my wife, "Happy Mother's Day." It's good to remember that. Because that means something. God is good. I'm thankful that God, before Tom Furze's Alzheimer's gets too far, allowed somebody to call him and say, "Hey, I just want to tell you how good things are right now, and you had a huge part in that." God is good. Let's praise God. Let's rejoice in the Lord. You'll never find something bad about God, so let's just rejoice in the Lord. There's no marginal strings attached to that. There's nothing conditional. You can rejoice in the Lord, and it'll always have a fulfilling pursuit to rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in Him tonight. Lord, we thank You for how good You are. I'm sure there's a young person in here right now that feels the peer pressure from maybe other girls or other boys about their life or their decisions that they make. I'm sure there's an adult in here that feels the pressure of keeping up with the Joneses or things just not working right or something going wrong or this happening and that happening. And the timing of things seems to be so frustrating and why things happen the way they do. And we just get that short focus and that little view instead of stepping back and seeing the big picture and realizing it doesn't matter if our little kingdom crashes down. Your kingdom is going to happen, and we can have a part in it and rejoice in it. Help us to be like Habakkuk and say, it doesn't matter if everything goes wrong, I can rejoice in the Lord. Help us to realize the danger of putting all of our eggs in our own little basket and all of our trust and assumptions in our own little world and not seeing the big picture. Help us to see that some things can't be understood. We just have to trust You and know that You're going to maybe show us the rest of it when we get to heaven and look down over heaven's balcony. Help us to realize we're not home yet. And we need to stop complaining about how bad it is now and realize how good it is now. So that later on we'll not be embarrassed that we were complaining about today. When really today was pretty good. And we thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.